Welcome to Tower Talks with Inside Towers, the wireless infrastructure industry's podcast. And now for your weekly recap, a timely review of this week's top headlines and takeaways. Here's your host.
Welcome to Inside Towers Week in Review. I'm Leslie Stimson, Inside Towers Washington Bureau Chief. With me are Jim Fryer, Inside Towers Managing Editor, and John Salentano, Inside Towers Business Editor. This episode is sponsored by Inside Towers Intelligence, a quarterly market report that dives deep into the wireless infrastructure ecosystem. It looks at market trends, capital expenditures, relevant M&A transactions, and more. Intelligence is designed for managers, marketers, and investors. An annual subscription also includes an exclusive briefing and online support. For more information or to subscribe, visit insidetowers.com/intelligence. On Monday, Randy Feenstra, he's a Republican representing Iowa, he suggests the expansion of 5G could interfere with weather radar and the ability to get an accurate forecast. That's according to Radio Iowa. The congressman spoke about 5G during last week's meeting of the House Science, Space, and Technology Committee. He said it's vital to have reliable eyes on the sky. Getting accurate weather information can save both lives and livelihoods of those in my district. He said he saw several tornadoes in the state recently. He says a report from the Government Accountability Office revealed multiple agencies must improve their efforts to cooperate to prevent interference with weather forecasting. GPS satellites, which aid navigation, could also be impacted, according to him. And then on Tuesday, the FCC took its first steps to move forward with funding for new broadband deployments nationwide. That's through the Rural Digital Opportunity Fund, or RDOF. The agency said it's ready to authorize more than $311 million in broadband funding across 36 states. At the same time, the commission took steps to clean up issues with the RDOF, according to its program design, that originated from its adoption in 2020. FCC Acting Chairwoman Jessica Rosenworcel called the action a significant down payment on broadband deployment. And she said help is on the way for hundreds of thousands of Americans without access to broadband. When the agency says it's cleaning up the program, what they mean is they are doing due diligence to make sure that those who were initially awarded the funds can actually deploy what they say they can deploy at the speeds and with the equipment they said they could. There's been a lot of controversy about that.
Thank you, Leslie. John, what happened on Tuesday?
Hey, Jim. Hey, Leslie. This article came from our technology editor, Sharp Smith, with an interesting twist on a 5G application. With so much of the buzz surrounding 5G about its ability to connect users to the internet with high speeds and low latency, there's actually some other uses being considered for the next generation of wireless technology, such as backhauling live TV feeds from remote locations to the station, thereby eliminating the need for running cables to a broadcast van and a microwave hookup. Vodafone Germany's 5G standalone infrastructure and transmission network were used this spring by German TV station RTL to send signals back to its production facilities for real-time broadcasting with 5G-capable TV cameras, according to Vodafone. Direct access to the 5G network, live TV images were transmitted in real-time to the broadcasting center and processed there for broadcast to hundreds of thousands of TV screens via RTL's broadcast processing, according to Vodafone Germany. So an interesting take on new 5G applications.
And they're going to be doing TV to broadcast using 5G to smartphone, as I understand it.
That's an extension of the application, quite right. And so I think it's in its early stages. We'll probably hear more about that as the 5G networks gets built out and 5G devices are more widely available.
Terrific. On Wednesday, Leslie, CTIA, the big industry trade association, came out with their big annual report. What did they have to say?
They sure did. The CTIA said in its new industry report, the industry invested $30 billion in 2020 to power America's wireless networks. The associations say this represents a five-year high and the third straight year of increasing capital expenditures, pushing cumulative industry investment over $600 billion. The investment means mobile speeds jumped 50% in the past year, and 5G networks nationwide now cover over 300 million people. Investment has also sparked 5G for home broadband services. These kind of services, capable of over 100 megabits per second downstream, are deployed in communities across the country. And then we go to Thursday, where I had a story about the infrastructure bill. Now the latest agreement is for $1.2 trillion. After weeks of negotiating, a bipartisan group of senators reached a deal on what they say is the major issues. This is tricky because they're still writing the bill. But as of now, broadband deployment spending remains a major part of the legislation, $65 billion. It could be days before they finish writing the measure. And the Senate Majority Leader, Chuck Schumer, has said he wanted to keep the Senate in over the weekend, if necessary, to get going on this. We'll see this week if that actually happened. That brings us to your story, Jim.
Yeah, on Thursday, the city of New York, in its effort to close the digital divide, announced that they brought on another vendor, the sixth vendor called Block Power, BLOC, Block Power, to sign on to their internet master plan for universal broadband in New York City. And this is going to provide service to an additional 10,000 households in the Bronx. And those who chose to enroll will pay nothing for the first year of connectivity and then only $15 a month thereafter. The deputy mayor, Laura Anglin, said that, quote, "We celebrate the additional deployment of broadband in the Bronx, bringing thousands of residents consistent connection to the digital world." So New York is making their ongoing efforts to close the digital divide. What did we have for Friday?
We have a story from our stellar infrastructure company, American Tower. We're right in the throes of second quarter earnings results. And American Tower reported on Thursday, and we ran this story on Friday, indicating that the company is raising its outlook on sparkling Q2 results. American Tower, in its second quarter earnings report, turned in double-digit growth on a year-over-year basis across the board. Total revenue was up 18% to $2.2 billion on a year-over-year basis. Net income jumped 67% to $748 million, and both adjusted EBITDA and AFFO were up in a double-digit range as well. The company cites growing global demand for tower space as the main driver for this growth. Mobile network operators across American Tower's operating regions are upgrading and expanding their networks to meet growing residential and business connectivity and mobile data demand. We included a chart that showed American Tower's base of sites has grown now to over 212,000 worldwide, the majority of which are in India, but the company operates not only in North America, but throughout North Latin America and Africa, and certainly with the Telesis acquisition earlier this year, it now has established a significant foothold in Europe and expanded its base in Latin America. So we can expect American Tower's situation to improve as its carrier customers and tenants continue to expand their networks. And the company is in the process has raised its guidance for full year 2021 and now expects total property revenues in the 9 to 9.1 billion range, with net income of 2.4 to 2.5 billion, and other metrics increasing as well. Its full year capital expenditures, it's raised to 1.5 to 1.6 billion. The company is planning to build roughly 7,000 new towers in 2021. That's up from its original estimate, about 6,500. Much of that is in Asia, in India, but there is activity in all its markets worldwide. So great performance from the company, and we continue to watch it closely.
And we will be hearing more on some second quarter reports this coming week as well, correct?
That's right. We have reports from T-Mobile reported yesterday, as well as early in the week is SBA Communications with their second quarter report. Crown Castle has already reported, but the one we're kind of keeping an eye on as well is Digital Bridge. Digital Bridge is, in our opinion, a prototypical infrastructure company and has all the pieces from towers and small cells to fiber to data centers, and they'll be reporting their results this coming Thursday.
Oh, well, welcome to the party, Digital Bridge. I think we'll no longer say the big three anymore after that, I guess, right?
I think that's right. They've certainly established themselves as a player, and not just in North America, but certainly globally. They have operations and properties in Europe, Latin America, and the Far East. So a company to watch closely. It's in a growth mode, and certainly an interesting mix of assets.
And on Friday, our friends at Nate, talking about probably the most pressing issue I think the industry faces right now is workforce development. Leslie, what did you have on that?
Well, Jim, the Nate, the Communications Infrastructure Contractors Association, they are advocating for state governments to invest in more communications workforce programs. This is in conjunction with Nate's effort as the Congress and the White House are still negotiating the infrastructure bill. The pending infrastructure legislation would greatly accelerate the deployment of broadband across the U.S. and enhance America's economic competitiveness, homeland security, and vital communications capabilities, Nate said. They said that in a letter to the National Governors Association and the National Conference of State Legislatures. This letter was shared with Inside Towers. But the association went on to warn of a worker shortage that it said, quote, could jeopardize these national goals. Without critical investment in communications infrastructure training programs, we may not have enough workers to carry out the mandates in federal and state broadband programs. That was written by Todd Schleckaway, Jim Goldwater, and Todd Washam. As broadband funding flows down to the states, it is imperative that the industry has enough workers to fully deploy internet and communications programs to communities in need. That's what Washam told Inside Towers. By working with Nate to build more education programs, policymakers can ensure that the industry has access to safe and productive technicians who meet the standards and expectations of Nate members.
Thank you, Leslie. And once again, we want to thank our readers and certainly our advertisers and all of our sponsors out there who contribute so much to Inside Towers. And we're happy to bring this weekly recap to you and look forward to seeing what comes up next week. So we'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to Tower Talks. To subscribe to our podcast, our daily newsletter, or use our other industry resources, please visit InsideTowers.com. Until next time, you've been listening to Tower Talks from Inside Towers, the wireless infrastructure industry's podcast.